Now let's continue on. Let's combine all of this together. God has to open our minds. We receive the Holy Spirit. We are led by the Holy Spirit, which is the power of God. And we are being trained by God in His way, and He has to teach us, because we're all to be taught by God. So let's pick it up here in verse 4. This shows the attitude that we need to have. Verse 4, show me your ways. And that we learn that from the Word of God. We learn that through experience. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Now notice, these are plural. The way of God is one way, but within that one way are many things. The way of love, the way of hope, the way of truth, you see, all combined together. Ways. Teach me your paths. So notice, he's beseeching God. This is really a tremendous psalm. And this is what spurred me with this for the sermon today, see? And these are the kind of prayers that we need. When you're studying the Bible, ask God to help you understand as you're studying it, see? We need to understand it. God wants us to understand it. And we're living in an age where we can have more understanding than ever before, but always remember this. Even as much as we can learn, that's nothing compared to what it's going to be when we're spirit being. All of that is preparation. And it's just like a babe in the womb. The only thing a babe in the womb learns how to do is nurse by sucking its thumb. Everything else goes from there. Just like with us. This is the kind of attitude that we need to have with God. Okay? Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. That's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Truth is what? The Word of God, the laws of God, the commandments of God, the statutes of God. Everything about God. God's mind, Christ's mind. See, all of that is there. Lead me in your truth and teach me. And this is what it needs to be in teaching the brethren. And this has to be the attitude of anyone who's going to be teaching the brethren. What are we going to be teaching if it's not the Word of God? What are we going to be teaching if we just teach our own ideas? Will that make them spiritual? No. For you are the God of my salvation. On you do I wait all day long. All the day long. Everything that we do. Okay, put in your notes there, Acts 17. I don't remember the exact verse, but it's toward the last of the chapter 17, where Paul says that in God we live and move and have our being. And everything that God has created in the vastness of the universe down to the earth is all for his plan. Okay? On you do I wait all the day long. Okay? Now verse 6. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies. And boy, we need God's tender mercies and loving kindness, for they have been of old. Verse 7. When you repent, God says he'll forget. Do not remember the sins of my youth. Now, boy, did we all not make all kinds of those growing up? And do we still not make all kinds of those even when we're older? Okay? Nor my transgressions, according to your loving kindness, remember me for your goodness sake, for your plan, for your purpose. See? Because this is a prayer, this is a psalm, this is a beseeching to God. See? Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he will teach sinners in the way of God, which then it's up here paths and ways. It's multi-layered. Okay. Verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to those who keep his covenant and testimonies. But for those who do not, you may end up without any mercy. Verse 11, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Again, verse 12. Notice how many times it says through this psalm, teach. Verse 12 says it again here. What man is he who fears the Lord? He, that is God, shall teach him in the way that he, God, shall choose. And we have that chosen for us through Christ and through his word, don't we? His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. Interesting, isn't it? That applies going back to who? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It applies coming down to Christ. See? And what are we going to do? We're going to inherit the earth and rule the world. Now, for the elite who think that everything outside the city limits of the great cities of the East Coast of America are nothing but hicks, intellectual stupidos, and know nothing. Well, won't they be surprised? I just hope when they're resurrected from the dead that one of those who came out of Texas is going to be there when they're raised out of the grave, and they come up out of the grave, and he uses his Texas accent, and he says, howdy, y'all. That would be good. Okay. Yes, verse 13. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. Now notice verse 14. The secret or the mystery of God. And I write about this in the letter that is coming. Because we can take two verses. We'll go back and do that here in just a minute. We can, not two verses, but two sections of Genesis 1 and 2. And everything else that God does is based upon that. Okay? Verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. Add to that, love him. And he will show them his covenant. And what the new covenant is all about. All right, let's stop right here and come to Matthew 13, then we'll go back to Genesis 1. Matthew 13. And it shows us why we are able to know, and the world does not know, and cannot know, just like we read, that it is only revealed by the Spirit of God. That's the only way we understand it, and God has to give it. And we have to seek for it. And we have to cry out to God to give us this understanding and wisdom and knowledge and help. Okay? Matthew 13 and verse 10. Verse 10. His disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given. See, it has to come from God. And it comes from God by revelation, by his Spirit, by his word, by Christ in us, you see. But it has been given to you to know the mysteries, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. Now that offends a lot of people. But how many people were offended in Christ at his word? Okay. Verse 13, for this reason I speak to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, in hearing you shall hear and no way understand, in seeing you shall see and no way perceive, for the heart of this people has grown fat, and that means with physical carnal indulgences and way of living. And pretty soon, they're going to be all lean. Now think about this for a minute. I was thinking about that the other day when I was watching a special on how they handled the garbage problem in New York City. Remember, you got all these tall buildings, apartments, and garbage men are so important they make about $100,000 a year. See? Now there is an incredible amount of garbage. And this all goes out to a dump, which is also a processing center, which also has freight lines and rail lines. They have so much garbage, they have no place to put it. So what they do, they break it down, and the things they can reclaim, they reclaim and salvage. They put all the rest in trucks and in rail cars and ship it to different places in America. And they pay them to take their garbage. All right. Now think about that. Let's think on something else, too, and then we'll do a little addition. There are more rats in the sewers of New York than there are people. Okay? Now, when God's judgment comes upon New York and the other big cities like it, okay, bang, the electricity is off, none of the elevators work, the garbage is going to stack up. What are they going to do when the terrorists stop off all of the gasoline coming in and diesel and blow up the storage tanks that all of those garbage trucks use to fuel up? And the garbage is piled in the streets. And those up on the top floors of these apartment houses, what do they do with their garbage? They drop it down big garbage chutes and then it's collected. Well, what's going to happen when they can't collect it? What's going to happen when that garbage chute is full? And what's going to happen when the rats in the sewers can no longer get any food down there? They're all going to come out. They're going to begin attacking the garbage. And guess what? What are the people going to do? There are going to be millions upon millions upon millions of people back there, 12 million in New York City, that are going to be confronted with rats, no food, no one to help, no electricity, and they are going to die like you can't imagine. And a plague will come, and it will be horrible. Yet, when they check everything out, and if you haven't seen the special on the History Channel, watch for it. There are people who specialize in things concerning New York City, and do you know what they have discovered? That through all the symbolism that is there, they have found that New York City has been dedicated to Satan, the devil. Now, that's public knowledge. If you've never seen that special, you watch it. See, remember God says he stores up for the wicked the day of the wicked. So it's going to come. All right. They don't understand. Okay. Now, why don't they understand? Because they reject the way of God. They reject the word of God. And God has made it plain to them. Now come back here to Genesis 1. They don't understand. And all these things are going to come upon them in a way that they will never realize. Now, how many have seen the special concerning the bubonic plague during the Middle Ages? Yes. It just swept through everything. And it all came from rats. Okay. So these things are going to come. All right. Now, let's look at something here that seems to be just an account that God is giving. Let's pick it up here in verse 14. This is day 4. Of the recreation of the earth. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide between the day and the night, and let them be for signs and for appointed seasons and for days and years. Appointed seasons, what are those? Those are the holy days. Does not all time circulate around the earth, the sun and the moon and the stars? So what did God do? His plan is built into the very creation of the heavens and the earth. But it seems very innocuous here, doesn't it? Just night and day. We take it for granted. If it's hot, we complain. If it's cold, we complain. If it's dry, we complain. If it's wet, we complain. Okay? Isn't that true? And that's all we think about it. All right? So number one, you take the verses I just covered, appointed seasons, and then you go through the Old Testament, and you see where some of them are kept. And then you go through the New Testament, and you get the spiritual understanding of it. Okay? Now, here's the other thing. Oh, day four. What day of the week was Jesus crucified on? Day four. What does it say about the Lamb of God? When was he slain? Destined to be slain, let's put it that way, from the foundation of the world. What are we looking at here? Day four, God set the appointed time. Said it would the appointed time of Jesus' crucifixion. Already locked in, right? Yes, but it doesn't say anything about that here, does it? Now, let's come to the other one. Chapter 2 and verse 2. By the beginning of the seventh day, God finished his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because on it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. All right. Then men come along and say, well, we can change that. Can anybody change the will of God? Well, if you repent, you might persuade him to hold off on your punishment, like what happened to King Ahab. You know, Elijah was sent there, and he told Ahab, you're going to die, and Jezebel's going to eat her and lick up her blood. So what did he do? He repented, and God acknowledged that repentance, okay? So the only way you're going to change the will of God is repent so that the punishment doesn't come upon you immediately. Okay. Are you going to change the universe? Are you going to change the heavens and the earth? No. But men think, well, we can come along and make it better. We'll do it on Sunday. Bang. What did we read in Matthew 13? They're blinded. Now, some of them are so nice and kind and good that people can't understand how that men like that are really rebellious. Because they just say, well, that's the old law. We follow the new law. Now, on these two things we just covered, the appointed times and the Sabbath, the whole Bible is structured on that. The whole plan of God is structured on that. But you can't learn that just by reading Genesis 1 and 2. So when we come back here to Psalm 25, now let's read it here, okay? Verse 14, Psalm 25 and verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. He will show them his covenant. And when you partake of that covenant, God will open your mind and give you understanding of his word. See? Verse 15, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he plucked my feet out of the net. Now, we don't know how many times God has rescued us during our lives. Okay? Turn unto me, he's crying out to God. Turn unto me and be gracious unto me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Now, that's when a lot of people begin calling out to God. Well, there you have it. Verse 17, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Boy, we have that today, don't we? There's so many people have so many problems and troubles, they don't know what to do, and they don't understand that those are all spiritual problems because they reject the truth in the Word of God. They're following the wrong principles, which are not from God. And they won't repent to God, yet they have all of these problems. See? And how can the psychologist and psychiatrist help them very much? Because they are the ones who don't believe in God, and they are the ones who ought to believe in God, and they are the ones who need to tell them they need to follow God. Verse 17. Yes. Finishing it here, oh, bring me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. How many people think all their troubles is because of their sins? Well, then consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with a cruel hatred. That's a prophecy of what happened to Christ. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I take refuge in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. two applications right there. The 10 tribes of Israel, plus those of Judah, and the church, both. There are different applications down through time. Historical, we can look back at that God delivered them. Future, when God brings them out of captivity. Future, when it comes to the second resurrection. So you see how much the word of God is layered with meaning. Okay. Now, let's just turn the page here. Okay, Psalm 27 and verse 11. Now, all of these we can incorporate in our study, our prayers, our attitude, our willingness to serve God. Verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a level path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of my enemies, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and he that breathes out violence. Okay, verse 14, wait for the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall make your heart strong. Yea, wait, I say, on the Lord. And of course, all these things do what? When God is teaching us, they establish a relationship with God. All right, let's continue on in the Psalms here. Psalm 86. These are by no means all the verses where it is teach me, show me, help me, and all that sort of thing. Psalm 86, verse 10. For you are great and do wonderful things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Quite something, isn't it? Now come to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, I know in my old King James Oxford Bible, I thought, well, I would do something clever. I would use about a half a dozen different colors, you know, yellow and red and orange and blue, and I would mark out for the commandments, laws, testimonies, precepts, and everything. And I had so much red in there that when I got all done doing that, it all bled together and I couldn't use it. Okay. All right. Now, let's pick it up here. Verse 12. Verse 12, again, we're going to see, and in several sermons I did years ago, I believe this is a prophecy of Jesus' attitude toward the laws of God, commandments of God, the precepts of God, testimonies of God, okay? Let's back up here to verse 10. Verse 10, with all my heart I have sought you. Let me not wander from your commandment. Your word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. And God teaches with his spirit. All right. Let's come down here to verse 26. Verse 26. I have declared my ways, and you answered me, teach me your statutes. Make me to understand the way of your precepts, and so shall I speak of your wonderful work. Okay? Notice what it does then, when God teaches us, what it's going to do. Verse 28, my soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying. Go the way of God, the way of truth. And grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of your truth. I have laid your judgments before me. So what we're seeing here, everything that we learn is based upon our choices and our yieldedness to God, being led by the Spirit of God so we can grow in grace and knowledge. And what's going to be the fullness of that? Well, when the resurrection comes, we'll find out. And what will that be? That will be just like because it's called born again. We've been born. And how much do we really know? Here's God and, you know, all the saints and Christ and all the angels, and here we are. Well, God's going to have to do like he did with Adam and Eve when he created them. He created them with a language in them. Think of it. Down through time and history, everybody different language. If we're all resurrected, which we will be, and be on the sea of glass, how are we going to communicate with each other if we have 10,000 tongues? Now, he's going to give us the language that he wants us to speak in. And those who are real adoring of the Hebrew language, they will say, it will be Hebrew. I don't think so. What did Paul say when he was in vision up to the third heaven and he heard things, what? That were unutterable. He couldn't utter them. Why? Because it was, what language does God speak? His language. What is that? Well, let's make it to the resurrection and we'll find out. Okay? So that's quite something. Okay. Verse 33. Turn the page. There we go. Now this tells us a lot. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it unto the end. Notice the determination. See, once we learn, we're to keep it. Notice verse 34. Give me understanding. That comes from God. How do we understand the scriptures? Through God's Spirit, through study, through applying ourselves, through doing just exactly like it says in everything we've covered. Teach me, O Lord. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and do it with all my heart. Make me to walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in them. Isn't that something? Why do people say that the hateful law God did away with? Makes you wonder. All right, let's come over here to 64, verse 64. O Lord, the earth is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. Okay, come down here to verse 65, next verse down. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge. Why don't we need that today? And what did Peter say? Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Verse 124. All right, again. Verse 124. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. Understanding the word of God. It is time for the Lord to work, for they have made void your law. Boy, if that is not true today. See, so here you can take this one verse right here, and you can see there are many applications of it down through time. Verse 27. Therefore, I love your commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. I esteem all your precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. So, that gives us a lot we can really sink our teeth into, right? Okay, let's come over here to, let's go back. Is there one? No, I got that. We got that. 108. Let's check that. There are so many verses here all the way through. Okay. Yes, go back to verse 108. Verse 108. Accept, I beseech you, the freewill offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. So God is the one who's going to be teaching. Let's come back here to Psalm 143, and let's see again about how God teaches us. Psalm 143 and verse 10. Now notice, it covers everything about God. Psalm 143 and verse 10. teach me to do your will. Now that covers everything. What do we ask God concerning in our daily prayers? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit, because God's spirit leads us in everything, lead me on level ground of uprightness. Now that's something. Now let's look at just a couple of other things. Because we do have to admit that some of the Protestants, because they keep some of the commandments of God, as Paul acknowledged there in Romans, the second chapter. Let's come back here to Proverbs now, since we're in Psalms, just a few over. Proverbs. I want to bring out something that is important. Okay? Proverbs 3. Now let's look at this. Proverbs 3 and verse 3. Now let's pick it up here in verse 1, come through verse 3. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, now what are we to God? We're his sons and daughters, right? Do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments, for they shall add length of days and long life and peace to you. Do not let mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Now, what is truth? The Word of God. Now, notice, many people can do things by discipline, by setting their mind to do different things. And many of the Protestants can do a lot of things that are right. But what is missing? The fullness of the new covenant. Because when God teaches us with His Spirit, it's not like disciplining ourselves with the mental thoughts that we have. Because it says, Jesus said, by taking thought, who can add one cubit to his to his height? He can't. Okay. But when God is dealing with us, come back here to Hebrews 10. So let's compare Proverbs 3 about you doing the writing on the tablet of your heart, compared to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Because we have something greater. And if God is teaching us, which He is, and if we are doing the will of God, which we are, and if we're yielding to God and changing and growing and overcoming and repenting, which we have to do every day. See, we don't get rid of the law of sin and death immediately. Because God wants us to understand only His Spirit can clean it up. Only His Spirit and His way can root out and erase those evil things in our minds. And here's what He does. Let's pick it up here in verse 15, Hebrews 10. And notice the difference, okay? Hebrews 10 and verse 15. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after He had previously said, this is the covenant that I will establish with them after those days, says the Lord. So here is what God is doing with everything that He wants us to have. Okay? I will give my laws into their hearts. Now, is it not a higher power and a greater standard and a greater effort that God is writing these things in us than we trying to put it in there ourselves? See, now we have the effort we need to do, but the Spirit of God within our minds and what we are doing is what writes them in our hearts and in our minds, and that ties in with what we have covered concerning the mind of Christ, okay? I will give my laws into their hearts, and I will inscribe them into their minds, and their sins and lawlessness I will not remember ever again. So this is what God is doing. It is called the work of God in us. And it's all based upon Genesis 1, the appointed times, Genesis 2, the Sabbath, and God's Spirit teaching us His way. So as we apply ourselves and study the Word of God in this way, with this attitude that we covered today, what's going to happen? As you read and study the Word of God, you're going to learn more and more and more. And there will come days when you are studying and all of a sudden it's like, bing, a light goes on. And you make a connection with another part of the Word of God. And it all comes together. So this is how God, in this evil world, is teaching those who are going to be in His kingdom. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.